Do students know why school was cancelled? Education Minister Jennifer Whiteside is woefully ill-informed if she believes that teachers, kindergarten to grade 12, were prepared to adequately explain to their students why they will not be in school on Monday. I doubt that any accurate educational and grade-appropriate materials are being communicated to schools and teachers by the Ministry of Education. I taught for more than 3 decades in the elementary grades, and never once did I have a curriculum that addressed the role of the monarchy, or for that matter made any mention of them or their role. I am also concerned about vulnerable students missing school-provided breakfasts and or lunches, never mind before and after school child minding, which is often on-site in schools that on Monday will be closed. Decisions like this make me wonder if the NDP is actively striving to lose the next election. J.R. Ross Nanaimo, better than a holiday, a lasting scholarship, a holiday for some and not for all? Seriously, is this the best way to remember Queen Elizabeth? How about doing something more lasting, like endowing scholarships at colleges and universities across Canada for studies in animal husbandry or veterinary medicine to assist those involved with two of the Queen's loves, horses and dogs, corgis? Richard Savardeskwai, Malt Provincial Government, put the students first once again. The children are left behind and we have yet to hear what is best for children in our province. Premier John Horgan's decision to follow the lead of the federal government for national mourning and close the schools on Monday is astonishing and short-sighted. This was the perfect teachable moment to guide the students in a mindful, meaningful way about losing one of the world's greatest monarchs. Students would get a much better understanding of this historic event in a classroom setting, rather than playing mindless games while their parents are scrambling to organize childcare. Does the government not remember what the last couple of years during COVID were like for our students? They will never close the learning gap, and yet here is another day off. At the very least, I would have thought that the premiers could have come together and, with consensus, made a united informed decision about how best to honor Queen Elizabeth, rather than once again making a decision in isolation, further dividing the country. Shame on this government for not standing up for our students, one of our best natural resources. Please start asking yourselves what is best for our students and parents who are the future of our province, and not looking at public sector collective agreements that may bring in more votes. Jane White, Qualicum Beach, let customers decide how much to tip ra. Now 15% is rude. Tipping fatigue hits customers as requests rise, September 16. A few years ago, it was customary to give a 10% gratuity when eating or drinking in a restaurant or pub. The credit card machine would give us a choice of 10, 15 or 20% for a tip. If we were somewhat satisfied with the service, it would be 10 or 15, but if it was great, then it would be 20. But alas, this is no more. The new machines now offer new choices: 18, 28, 30%, or some other combination starting at 18%. What is more disturbing is that the tip amount is calculated on the total of the purchases plus the taxes. In BC, there is a 5% GST on meals, and 10% PST and 5% GST on alcohol, so the tip calculation includes these tax amounts. Why should customers tip on taxes, since the taxes have nothing to do with the service offered? Of course, there should be tipping, since it is a means of showing our appreciation for the service received. But tipping choices should be left to the customer. Most people now believe they are coerced into high levels of tipping. The machine should simply let the customer enter his choices, be it a percentage or a cash amount. Also, any percentage calculated should not include the taxes. Roger CYR, Victoria. Victoria candidates, prepare for lower pay. Now that the Victoria civic election is launched, the candidates must be eager to disclose their platforms, as in pay for work. Since the major job of council is to regulate housing and neighborhoods, those candidates backing the middle housing myth will be anxious to give up at least half their salaries if elected. After all, they want to abrogate their duty by giving unelected planners complete control over all aspects of zoning with no input from taxpayers, so, of course, they will want to forego their pay for a job they will no longer do. Patrick Murphy, Victoria. We already have a two-tier medical system, let's face it. A two-tiered medical system already exists here. Those who have a family doctor and those who do not. Chris Ford, Oak Bay. Thanks, healthcare workers, for all you do. It seems to me every day is filled with healthcare complaints. Granted, there are many issues, but I wanted to offer my thanks to those workers, especially at the Royal Jubilee Hospital, who have assisted me twice recently with prompt attention, smiles and grace after my recent surgery. In one case, visiting emergency, the other for a CT scan. I am no one special, yet I felt I was given VIP attention in my opinion and experience. It feels to me like there is some magic in a bottle at the Jubilee, as all my interaction with staff was positive. My heartfelt thanks to those in healthcare for everything you do. Terry Voth Victoria, look at the evidence on COVID in schools. Re. Don't blame schools for high COVID rates among BC youth. Provincial Health Officer, September 15. Given all the comments I see these days about evidence-based everything, I am amazed that no one has bothered to look at the evidence in this case. The pupil-teacher ratio in BC is about 18 to 1, so the pupil-adult ratio, including teachers, aides, secretaries, and custodians, is about 15 to 1, which provides lots of adults for a comparison. How does the number of school-employed adults who were infected with COVID compare to the adult population in general? If it's greater, then being in a school was probably contributory. If not, then Dr. Bonnie Henry is correct, and being in school was not dangerous to pupils. And if no one has those numbers at hand, although I think they should have them, then comparing school employees' rates of absenteeism during COVID to the rates from 3 years ago will provide a reasonable proxy. Ian Cameron, Brentwood Bay Government restricted revenue from rentals. Re. Vacancy control harms renters. Commentary, September 15. I have been serving and educating rental housing providers for over 25 years. While I agree with the writer in his focus on Manitoba and the lack of supply in BC, he missed the most important fundamental point that is causing small landlords to leave the business. There was a legislated and reasonable rent control formula in place since 2004. Inflation rate plus a 2% base intended to cover minor maintenance costs. The NDP government removed the 2% in 2018 and has completed the obliteration of this formula by replacing it with a political decision. The result has been an average annual allowable rent increase of 1.3% a year, not for 1 year, for each of the 5 years from 2019 to 2023. No business can continue to operate with such a restriction on revenue. Rental housing providers face the same rates of cost increases in property taxes, insurance, and labor as do all other businesses. The difference is the NDP doesn't prevent any other industry from increasing prices to at least stay in business. Al Kemp, President A. G. Kemp & Associates Inc. Sonich, don't let the woke fool you. Poiliev is okay. Re. Pierre Poiliev fills me with chills, September 14. It's entertaining to see the woke progressives' hysterical reaction to Pierre Poiliev's successful leadership bid. The propaganda machine was clearly primed and ready for action. I don't know whether the letter writer is helping to disseminate that propaganda or is merely an indoctrinated acolyte, but she is mistaken on all points. Taking them in order, 1. It's absurd to extrapolate against vaccine mandates to mean against vaccination, 2. The truckers' convoy wasn't violent coercion. 3. It's absurd to conflate Confederate flags with foreign participation. 4. Legal firearm owners are statistically less likely to commit any kind of offense than even the public. The vast majority of gun crimes are committed by people who ignore gun laws. Oh, and I rather like the word freedom. 5. Reconciliation appears to consist mainly of writing an endless stream of very large checks. This has to change. Point 6. I'll bet the letter writer $100 that abortion and same-sex marriage rights are not debated. Point 7. You can't tax your way to prosperity. Lowering taxes provides more incentive to find work, which gets people off social programs. It increases GDP, and lowers crime, which generates more tax revenue which can be used to fund social programs for those who really need them. Point 8. I used to regard the CBC as beloved, too, but not anymore. It's become a woke mouthpiece of the political left and is far from unifying. Point 9. Let's invoke the devil himself, Donald Trump. When you're as far left as the so-called progressive movement, everything else must be branded far right. Discussion and debate are forbidden. M.H. Ward Victoria, traffic enforcement is a lower priority. Re. It's rare to see traffic laws enforced, letter, September 15. The letter said there were all kinds of drivers doing dangerous things driving their cars, and nary a police car. It's become a real social issue. I retired from Saanich Police in 2000. In my 25 years there, the priorities of the force were misdirected. Traffic enforcement was discouraged. What was encouraged was follow-up from break and enters, which was important. I could go on and on because that letter is so relevant. Randy Johnson Sydney and Saanich, a study on traffic issues re. It's rare to see traffic laws enforced, letter, September 15. The letter is 100% correct and they apply equally in Saanich. I, along with several neighbors, have been in regular contact with Mayor Fred Haines asking him and his council for help. His help has been offered in the form of a multi-year study that will avoid any criticism in time for the upcoming election and kick this can down the road, allowing him to say, "We have heard you and are working on it." There will always be a large segment of the population who see the posted speed as a suggestion only, and not a maximum. They, as a course of driving, go 10 km per hour over the posted speed. Police resources are such that the cost of residential policing is high when compared with highway speed enforcement and other actions, and any revenue generated is much less, due to the volumes, making it a low priority. In my opinion, the most effective way to reduce speeding is with the use of speed calming systems such as speed bumps, traffic circles, chicanes, street narrowing in spots, and visible radar signs. These are effective and permanent and do work and less costly than the level of policing necessary. Clearly, there are more effective and less costly ways to improve the safety of residential streets. Brian Reynolds Saanich local candidates must fight intimidation with most of Victoria Council not seeking re-election, and so many candidates entering the race. It seems likely that this year's municipal elections will be, if not a repudiation, at least a sharp change in direction. This is, perhaps, to be expected. Those in power are blamed when things go wrong, whether deservedly or not. And the past few years have been exceptionally difficult for us all. But such frustration also creates fertile ground for an ugly, reactionary politics. Consider the last year. Effigies of politicians hanged at the legislature. A Pride Month event at a local cafe cancelled after threat of a shooting. Continuing hostility toward the unhoused, as though people can be criminalized into having homes. People I know have spoken of being harassed or threatened. This is ultimately a reflection of our national and international politics, where the new leader of the Conservative Party is a man who has marched alongside convoyers, only days after the world heard testimony that Donald Trump wanted to lead the mob in person on January 6. But local government will have power to damp down the flames in our community, or fan them. The first responsibility of every candidate must be to confront intimidation as a political tool. Candidates must commit to repudiating such behavior, to being transparent with the public to deny conspiracism room to grow, and to avoiding reactionary rhetoric and punitive policies, e.g., tough on crime, that will pour fuel on the fire. Anton Brockhage Victoria send us your letters, email. Letters at timescolonist.com. Mail. Letters to the editor, Times Colonist, 201-655 Tyee Road. Victoria, BCV 9A6X5, submissions should be no more than 250 words, subject to editing for length and clarity. Provide your contact information, it will not be published. Avoid sending your letter as an email attachment.